Luke 7:7-19. Suppose one of you has a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, "Come along now and sit down to eat"? Won't he rather say, "Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that you may eat and drink"? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Well, good evening, everybody, and I'm really glad you've tuned in for this evening's service. Let me lead us in prayer as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, please, this evening, please teach us. Please be at work in by your Spirit to renew our hearts and help us to grasp deeply your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you to imagine that a friend comes to you and asks you to lend them £100, which you do. Now, chances are you're probably not going to go round to their house the next day, bang on their door and demand it back. You'll probably say, "Look, take your time. There's no rush. I don't need it straight back away," because at the end of the day, you're happy to help. But you still know the deal. They owe you. And if time goes by and they still haven't given the money back to you, chances are you're going to feel a little bit put out. Where's my money, you may think. You owe me. Or perhaps you do someone a favour, you fix their car or you look after their kids for an afternoon, something like that. Now you know that at the very least they now owe you a thank you. Maybe even a favour in return. They might even say that. They might even say, "Look, I owe you big time. Thank you so much." And we say, "Look, no problem. Happy to help," because we are. But if they don't reply with a thank you, or if down the line you ask them for a small favour and they point blank refuse, chances are you may feel a little bit put out by that, because they owe you. When we do stuff for people and give them money or time or favours, we know what that means. They owe us something in return. That's just an observation on how relationships work. The problem is, we can think like that when it comes to God. When we give money or time or energy or effort to things that concern him, or when we forgo pleasure or comfort or deny ourselves in his service, we can begin to think that he owes us. Now, we might not bang on heaven's door and say, "Look, God, you owe me." So long as the blessings keep coming and our prayers keep being answered, all's good. I help him, he helps me. But if he never seems to return our favours, or if our prayers never seem to get answered, we can start to feel a little bit put out. Because at the end of the day, doesn't God owe us? Well, this evening, Jesus is going to teach us an absolutely crucial truth if we're going to relate to God rightly. Jesus is going to teach us that actually, God doesn't owe us anything. In this section of Luke's Gospel, Jesus has very much had the Pharisees in mind. Because of their religious heritage, because of their years of religious service, they assumed that God owed them. It made them proud. expectant, entitled, and when they didn't get what they expected, it made them angry. And so, wary of their influence, Jesus reinforces to his disciples this key truth. He says, no, God doesn't owe us anything. Two parts to tonight's sermon. Firstly, God doesn't owe us thanks when we serve him. God doesn't owe us thanks when we serve him. Looking here at verses 7 to 10. Jesus uses an illustration from a first century household. He says, suppose one of you is a servant, someone you pay to look after the garden and to look after the animals and to make your dinner. When your servant comes in from the field at noon, having just finished the first part of his job, Jesus asks, do you as the master say to him, sit yourself down, eat some lunch, take the afternoon off? Is that what you say? The implied answer is no. That would be very unusual to treat a servant or an employee like that. Jesus goes on in verse 8, and as the master, won't you rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink. And the implied answer is yes. Of course that's what you'd say. You're going to treat your servants or your employees fairly, giving him his food when he's finished his job, for sure. But you're not going to let him off early or shower him with endless thanks and praise and gifts and treats for just doing his job. No. And when the servant's work is done, verse 9, Jesus asks, as the master, are you going to thank him? Because he's done what he was told to do? And the implied answer is no. Now, this might be lost in us a little bit if you are British. Because, of course, British people thank people all the time. I had, even just thinking about this week, I took a phone call one dinner time from a company. It was a cold call. I thought it was someone else. I thought, oh, I need to take this. It was from a company. They took my time, 2 minutes of my time. They didn't give me anything in return. It was really a bit of an inconvenience. But how did I finish that call? Well, the same way as you would have done it. Thank you. Why did I thank them that didn't deserve thanks? It's just hardwired into British culture that you thank people even when they've done nothing to deserve it. So British people, because of quirks, might get a little bit confused with verse 9. But in many other cultures, maybe in your culture, when a servant or employee finishes his work for the day, does the boss say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you? No. Because at the end of the day, they're only doing what they're supposed to be doing. Their efforts don't merit huge thanks. Well, Jesus applies this illustration then to us as God's servants. Verse 10. So you also, when you've done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Jesus says, just as you don't thank your servants profusely when they simply do their job, so when we as God's servants obey and serve him and do our duty, we shouldn't expect special thanks and praise and gifts. He doesn't owe us. We are his unworthy servants, simply doing our duty. You see, what the Pharisees fail to realise is that our lives belong to God. In fact, we belong to him twice. God made us, and so he owns us once. And he rescued us at the cost of his own son, so he owns us twice. We are his. And that means that my life, my time, my energy, my effort, they all belong to him. They're not mine. They're his. He's the rightful owner, not me. So in that sense, my life and energy, my time and so on, is a bit like this book. Dan Hook lent me this book 2 weeks ago. It's in my possession at the moment, but it's his book. In fact, if you look inside, you'll even see his name. Now, when I give this book back to Dan tomorrow, He's going to be pleased with me that I've done that, for sure. But I won't be doing him a favour. And he won't suddenly become indebted to me as if this was my book that I was gifting him. He won't suddenly owe me something in return, because I'll simply be doing what I ought to do, my duty, which is giving back to him what is rightfully his. Likewise with God. When we obey him and give our lives in service of him, he's pleased with us, sure, but we're not doing him a favour. And he doesn't become indebted to us. He doesn't now owe us something in return, because we're simply doing our duty, what we ought to do, which is giving back to our owner what is rightfully his. God doesn't owe us praise and thanks when we serve him. And that is just a crucial mindset for service. It's very tempting, isn't it, to look sideways and to think, well, I'm doing this and this and this and this and this, and yet my life is difficult and hard. Far more than that person whose life seems to be much easier than mine. Where's my thanks, God? I think we can be particularly susceptible to that mindset when the Christian life is hard for us, or when our service of him makes us tired, or when we really feel the cost of obeying him, or when life isn't going the way we would hope it would. God, this is hard. Aren't you grateful for all I'm doing for you? God's pleased with our service, yes. But he doesn't owe us thanks and praise and an easy life, because we are unworthy servants who are just doing our duty. Now, amazingly, God is so generous that when Christ comes back, Christ will in fact shower us with blessing and rest and gifts. Just listen to this from Luke 12, speaking of Jesus coming back at the end of time. It will be good for those servants whose master, speaking of Jesus himself there, whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he, the master, will dress himself to serve, will have them, the servants, recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. If we serve God, even though it's what we're meant to do, and even though we don't deserve thanks, nevertheless, out of sheer kindness, at the end of time, at the great banquet, Christ will come and swap roles with us and serve us. Well, this is a key mindset, even just this week, as you come to serve God, perhaps honouring him at work, looking to please him in your family life, putting in time and effort and energy to live a godly life in service of him, to remember, no, God doesn't owe me thanks and praise. We are his unworthy servants. But then, secondly, God doesn't owe us cleansing from sin. Looking here at verses 11 to 17. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem at this point, passing through the border country with Samaria, and he comes across 10 lepers. Now, leprosy was an awful condition. It still is. Lepers had to quarantine, which in the first century meant being banished, never getting to see your family or friends up close again. So just imagine that for the moment at the doctor's surgery, hearing the news that you've contracted leprosy. It would have been devastating, as you think, I'm never going to see my friends or family again. It's awful. But when these lepers call out to Jesus, Jesus has pity on them and miraculously cleanses them of their leprosy. As they go, they look at their arms, and their sores just seem to disappear. They look at their hands as the scars and infection just seems to evaporate. And it is a remarkably generous thing that Jesus does for them. Remember, this isn't just the gift of health. This is the gift of getting to see family again. This is the gift of getting to worship as part of God's people at the temple. This is a wonderful gift that Jesus gives them. One of them comes back to praise God and thank Jesus, a Samaritan, praising God in a loud voice and throwing himself at Jesus' feet and thanking him, and Jesus commends him. But Jesus is also somewhat miffed at the other nine. Listen to verse 17. There's a real sting to Jesus' questions. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" These other 9, they had realized that Jesus could cleanse them. Initially, they spoke very humbly to him, "Master, have pity on us," as if they had no claim on him. It was model. But as the old saying goes, actions speak louder than words. Because when Jesus cleanses them, crucially, they don't think to thank him. Now, we all forget to thank people every so often. What if you ever come away from a conversation and just think to yourself, "Just, did I thank that person when they handed me this cup of tea? Did I do that? I meant to, did I?" But this is not like that. Because when someone saves your life, you don't just forget to thank them. Unless, of course, deep down, you just expected it and felt entitled to it. These 9, they felt entitled to cleansing. It was clear from their actions. They felt that Jesus was giving them what he owed them. Why did they think like that? Well, I wonder if it isn't something to do with their heritage. Luke makes a big thing of the fact that the one who came and said thank you to Jesus was a Samaritan. It comes up twice in the passage. Does that mean that the other 9 were Jews? Well, we're not told for sure. But given the geography and given Jesus' instructions to go and show yourself to the priest, it's probable. The Samaritan realized that Jesus didn't owe him cleansing and was grateful, but the Jews felt that he did. You see here the influence of the Pharisees on the rest of the Jewish people. The sense of religious entitlement at the top had spread into the rest of the people. "We've been God's people for ages. We're his chosen ones. So of course he cleanses us." Well, as we apply this to ourselves, we need to see that leprosy is a picture of sin. Like leprosy, sin makes us unclean. It separates us from God and his people. And in the Old Testament, like sin, leprosy required sin offerings and guilt offerings to make atonement. Leprosy is one of those Bible pictures of sin. And just like Jesus cleansed these lepers, so we know that Jesus cleanses us of our sin. If we ask him, Jesus will wipe our slate clean. He'll take our filth and give us a perfect robe of righteousness to wear. He will forgive us and cleanse us of our sin. It's what Jesus is best known for, right? That he is forgiving. But we need to beware that we don't think like these 9, assuming that Jesus would forgive us because we deserve it. That because of our religious background and heritage, he kind of owes it to us. Like the philosopher who famously said, "God will forgive me. It's his job." No, it's not his job. It's not his duty. He's not repaying us what he owes us. He doesn't owe us cleansing. He doesn't owe us thanks. He doesn't owe us anything. Anything that he does give to us is simply out of his grace and kindness. And the extent to which we really get that is the extent to which we're going to resemble this Samaritan. Let me just read those verses again, as we close, the model response. Verse 15, "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him." Let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you made us, that you have rescued us, that you have forgiven us freely in Christ if we're trusting in him. Help us, please, we pray, to grasp your grace, that we might drop any sense of entitlement or sense that you owe us, so that we might praise you with glad and grateful hearts for your undeserved mercy to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing and express our gratitude to God with our final song, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness.
Strength and causes it to fly.